Okay. Revelation. Chapter 1. I hope you're ready. It's not Revelations. Revelation. And we'll talk about it, but first. No, Billy, your sins can't be erased using Photoshop. And so, I don't know. That's the technology, and that's the message today here in terms of what people might get creative to say. You know, we can confess our sin to Jesus as Christians, 1 John 1:9. And he's faithful to forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so that's something as believers we're just always doing, I hope. Because then it opens and illuminates God's path and purpose for you. And you can see it at a whole new level. And then confess even sins to each other. James 5:16. What a powerful time if men you have another man to do that with, and lady or woman you have another woman or lady to do that with. Powerful. It's just such a time of healing, James says. Hey, we worked on the top of this chart for 6 weeks. Now we're going to start at the bottom. Say bottom is good. Yeah. Holy Spirit, show us what we're to glean today. Holy Spirit, convict our hearts today. Holy Spirit, get us excited about your gospel and about your word. And may it be that as the Apostle John, we see his life, the many hardships he endured, especially towards the end, he really finished strongly. Help us to learn from him, even in chapter 1. So we talked about for 6 weeks the church age. Okay, Jesus raptures the church, 7-year tribulation. Talked about Jesus' second coming, 1,000-year millennial reign, lake of fire, great white throne judgment, new heaven, new earth. We talked about that in several different weeks. Now, the bottom, Revelation 1 through 3, just chapter 1 today. Say 1 is good. 1 is good. 1 through 3 today, that's going to be on the church age. We'll get specific with chapter 1, and then chapters 2 and 3 will be John's message, Jesus' message, through John to the 7 churches. We're going to see that next week, and then we're going to think about our church. And we're going to think about what's here at our church. What would Jesus say is missing at New Hope after he evaluates these 7 churches? It's a pretty cool exercise, both good and bad. But you know what? You gotta be willing to face good and bad and not just gloss over it. Deal with it. Nail it. Right then and there and now. We've got, so that's Revelation 1 through 3, 1 today, church age. Revelation 4 through 5, Jesus raptures the church. Well, this chart, who I got from Gary Hamrick, love him, this chart is missing. This is the throne room of God. And I'm going to bring you pictures, okay, from the throne room. Well, at least what people think it looks like. Okay. That went over better and I was thinking about it. But Revelation chapter 6 through 18, the 7-year tribulation. Oh my goodness! Chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 chapters of scripture on the tribulation that's coming. Oh, we glossed over it in 1 week. We're going to have several weeks to see about who are the 144,000? Oh, my goodness. No, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses. Stop that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the two witnesses. We're going to talk about a lot there. Then Revelation 19, Jesus' second coming, 20, and then 21 and 22. So anyway, today is chapter what?
1.
Yeah, it's 1. Good. Chapter 1. Very good. Okay, so as we go on. Hey, literal, futuristic, prophetic. Also with some symbolism that we get to interpret. So that's Revelation. That's our view of Revelation. We're not preterist. We're not hyper-preterist, which means that these events listed, the majority of them in Revelation, have already passed in the first century. No, we don't believe like that. We believe in a literal, futuristic, prophetic book of Revelation that has not taken place yet in terms of chapters 4 through 22 as we go forward. The writer, John the Apostle, John wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He wrote the Gospel of John, and then he wrote Revelation. 95 A.D. A.D. means Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. In the year of our Lord. Anno Domini. And so we got that first century there. John's really old when he writes this. He writes from the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. What? Why would he go out from what we would call modern-day Turkey and go out to this 13-square-foot island to write? He must have been in trouble. He must have been in trouble. He must have been exiled. He must have been... The emperor must have said, bad, bad, bad. And we'll get into a little bit more of that as we go. Look at the churches that he writes to. Say, churches are good. Yeah, he writes to these seven churches. This is Asia Minor, as the Bible talks about Asia Minor. This is modern-day Turkey. Modern-day Turkey, okay? But back then, you got the seven churches. John writes from here as a revelation from Jesus Christ. So we're going to see what that letter entailed. We're going to see parts of it. We're going to look at it and see what's there, what's application there for us. Okay, so why is John there? Why is John there? Look at this, Revelation 1:9. It's in the first chapter why he's there. Revelation 1:9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and endurance in Jesus. By the way, that tribulation here, small t, that's not the coming tribulation, okay? That's not the coming tribulation in chapters 6 through 18. No, that's the tribulation of Christians in the first century being persecuted and killed for their faith, okay? That was real life in the Roman world, first century, okay? And you see a couple big instances of that in the scripture itself. Was on the island called Patmos, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Why was he on the island?
Because of Jesus.
Because, yeah, he was sharing his faith in Christ. So he was exiled to an island, and I'll tell you more about the island in just a moment. But yeah, shipped out. There were hardships on the island. Criminals were sent there to fend for themselves and to get away from doing what they were doing in society. He happened to be sharing the love of Christ. Wow. Talk about being persecuted for an unbelievable purpose. As we go further, who was behind this exiling of John? Who was behind this? Domitian. The emperor, the Roman emperor. It says autocrat. What he said went. He made the rules. And people followed the rules or there were harsh consequences. So believe it or not, the first time and the first way they tried to get rid of John, because you know the other apostles? It's conjectured to say that they all died for their faith. Even the Apostle Paul, they died for their faith. And then we sometimes, we just don't get the Christ. We signed up to follow. When he says, blessed are the persecuted, we're like, on the US of A, it's a nice day. I don't even know if I want to go to church to learn about this Jesus that many people across the nation have to go underground to learn about. Don't even know. And it's just like, look at these times. Let's learn from the people. So the first time they tried to get rid of John, this is what happened here. It's boiled alive, boiled in hot oil, boiled alive, boiled in hot oil. And so God delivered him. He didn't die. He didn't die. Okay, when the emperor saw he didn't die, what we have here is exiled to Patmos, to an island. And a little more on that to come here. Let's look at the start here. If you have your Bibles, you want to follow along, that's fine. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. The interesting thing about that, shortly take place, this was almost 2,000 years ago, and he's talking about times that haven't happened, the tribulation. And so it's like, the Greek word shortly actually means not going to happen soon, but when it does happen, it's going to unravel really fast. And it's going to seem like a short duration. And it's not going to be, though, until it starts. Until the rapture takes place and the tribulation starts, it's going to then unravel really fast. That's what that text is there. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. So he's got an angel. God has an angel involved to bring the message. Angels were used for quite an assortment of purposes in Revelation and in Scripture. But look at verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. So I'm reading it today. Guess who's hearing the words today? Yes! It's you. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. That means to be a doer of what's in it, a doer of the word, for the time is near. You know what? Spiritual people who wrote Scripture, oftentimes apostles, including the Apostle Paul, they thought that the time was near, that Christ was going to return. They all had that mindset in their day, in their work ethic. If we really worked thinking that Christ could come back today and we really believed it, different work ethic. I didn't leave early. No, I didn't. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, I want to work to the time, maybe 5 minutes after. Jesus may come back today. But they all had an idea. They all had an idea that Christ was going to come soon. And it wasn't his time. But it seems like spiritual people always have that understanding that they know what they're doing, and they're doing it in light of that Christ could come back today. Oh, let's get that, because some of us think we have a lot of time, and we just throw our life away. Oh, gracious. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. So a doer, to be a doer of the word. You got to know the word. But I'm convinced as Christians, We pick and choose what we want to see. We pick and choose what we want to listen to and hold in high regard. For instance, and this is a Bible that I gave my wife years ago, and it's fallen apart. I turned to the back cover and it says Hebrews. Missing some books. But what we'll do is we'll take a page out of the scripture, okay? This is what we do. We go, I'm reading, oh, that's not for me. Now I can read it, it sounds better. Oh, no, that's not for me. Not that. Nope. Now it sounds better. Oh, wait, there's another problem. Now it sounds great. All things work together for good. Because the rest of that verse says, for those who are called according to his purpose, and for those that love God. So wait a second. We can't be glossing over the scriptures. We can't be reading fast over the parts we don't want to internalize or practice. We don't want to do it, but we do it. Some of us now are going, if he talks 20 more minutes, and we got communion, probably get out of here at 20 after. Ugh. If you feel that way, you need a time of spiritual refreshment. Maybe a camp. Maybe another chaperone at a camp. Maybe something that will help you rejuvenate. But if it's not this church, if it's not the people you surround yourself with, don't stay stagnant. Don't read select verses. Don't gloss it over. Be a doer. Blessed is happy, happy. Happy is blessed. Okay, go on. What did John go through towards the end of life? Look at this. He was called Sons of Thunder by Jesus. So he probably was pretty uppity. Probably had an attitude. Fisherman. Probably a little aggressive, probably needed some refinement. Okay, him and his brother James the Great, there were four James. No, that's not the half-brother of Jesus, James. He was boiled in oil, exiled to Patmos with other criminals and had to survive on their own. After Domitian died, John was brought back to Ephesus where he was given poison and he lived through the poison. When God wants to take you, he's going to take you. If it's not your time, you can be boiled, okay? You can be baked. Just kidding, that just went along with boiled. You can be boiled, okay? You can be exiled. You can be poisoned. And if God says it's not your time, you're not going. You're not going. He's given us days. Psalms 139 to live out. Live them out, serving and loving him. That's why we do things like food distribution yesterday. I've never seen such a large group to process the before prayer and the after with. It was exhilarating. Liz said, did you guys always pray at the end and talk about what happened? I said, I think we did that every time. And I don't know if you caught that or not. But the testimonials. We're living out our faith with fear and trembling, awaiting for Jesus, because we think he can come back at any time. Oh, it's a spiritual attribute. It's a good thing. What did he do after having major trauma and on the edge of death multiple times? What did he do? What did John do? And he couldn't go to Disneyland as all those athletes do after they win a Super Bowl. No, he wrote the last book in the Bible and tells us to be a doer of the word. He got caught up in Jesus. He got caught up in Jesus. So what this does, I'm reading a book that I was given a couple Sundays ago before we went on vacation that turned out to be 3 weeks of COVID sickness. But I'm reading the book, and Liz and I are both reading it together, Wild Goose Chase by Mark Batterson. And what he says is, some of us live as if we expect to hear God say, well thought, good and faithful servant. Well thought. We have so many good thinking ideas. But when it comes down to doing them, I'm the thinker. I think, and I tell people, and hopefully they do it. Bad call. Or, well said, good and faithful servant. God isn't going to say either of those things. He will say, well done, good and faithful servant, if we are faithful with what he's given us and tasked us to do. And so I thought that was brilliant and wanted to share that. So this is the case. This is the situation here. I got to just pause a second here. What's distracted you from taking up your cross and following him? What hardship has distracted you and gotten you off the mark where you're focused totally on anything but God things? I don't know. You have to answer it yourself. But we got a model here, the Apostle John, who gives us insight as to what we can do and where we can remain focused. You're saying, gosh, my marriage is just not what it used to be. Stay the course with Jesus and watch things get better as both of you entrust Jesus and make him your cornerstone. But we've had these life circumstances that have come up. And so I've just missed my reading. I've missed my time with Jesus. And I'm way off course. He allows U-turns. He allows U-turns. Take him up on it. Confess your sin. Make broken relationships right. Whatever it takes. Because that will free you from the bondage of sin and destruction and hurt and pain. Oh my gracious. John's a good model there. A really good model there. Hey, greeting the seven churches. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. I don't know what that means. I'll give you three choices. You figure and pick one, and then we'll go on. But I want to see a commitment of one, two, or three from you in just a moment. That means, yeah, you got to look at something and respond to something. But I'm taking notes right now, and I'm almost done with my list of things we need from the store. Could you wait one more minute? No, we must engage your brain into things of the Lord. We want you to be all that you can be in Christ. That's why a week from Wednesday, we're teaching the Brown Book class. We got a lot of books. And you can come to the Brown Book class. It's going to be 8 weeks long. You'll get one of these books. And you'll learn the heart and the mind of Christ. And so much more. See me if you need a book. A week from Wednesday it starts. 6:30 here at church. But anyway, I digress here. Seven spirits. So John, getting the revelation of Jesus Christ from and through the angel, from Christ himself, grace and peace to him who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Tell me, seven spirits, which one is it? Does seven mean it's a number of completeness in the Bible, so it just means the Holy Spirit? This is just a way to say that it's the Holy Spirit, full of the Spirit, completeness in the Spirit, because it says seven? Or is it seven virtues of the Spirit, which Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 2 says? Or is it seven angels? See this, Revelation 8, 2. And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So tell me, Tell me which one you think it is, and we'll go forward. How many think it's number one? Yeah, okay, thank you, thank you. Number two. Number three. Okay, I had 20% people participate. That's like a record. Good job, thank you, that's awesome. I think it's three. I like number one, and number two also works. We don't know. We don't know. I'm not gonna tell you wrong. I mean, if you were wrong, I would say it's wrong, but I'd say it gently. Right there, it says, Revelation 8:2, and I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So when we get to the throne room of God, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be really, really exciting. But anyway, so who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the king of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. My question is this, first. He is coming with the clouds. That's literal and figurative. Say literal.
Literal.
Literal and figurative. Literal in that he's coming with the clouds, okay, as he's taken up and coming down. Okay, we see that, physical clouds. But figuratively, and he's always got a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews, and he's coming down with the saints. So this leads us to the question here, is this the rapture or the Jesus return with the saints? Is this what he's talking about, the rapture, or is this with Jesus return with the saints? It's got to be the return with the saints, because it says every eye will see him. In the rapture, we're caught up. Boom! Boom! Where'd they go? No, all eyes are going to see them. They're just going to see that we're missing. You're going to say, oh, why is Pastor Don gone? Okay, and so we've got this picture of Revelation 19, Jesus coming back down. When he comes back down, it says every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. So the people that we're witnessing to, friends and family, when he comes back with all the saints with us, they're going to see him, and they're going to realize they missed it. They're going to realize that he was who he said he was. And I believe they're going to weep, they're going to mourn. It's going to be like their heart has been yanked out. That's a sad time. That's why we go to the homeless park and witness to everybody and their dog. And we try to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. And we get them Bibles and get them clothes and meet a need. That's the urgency. And because we see the apostles who wrote the scriptures, the New Testament, we can identify, because they also awaited Christ's coming and thought it was going to be any day now. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Verse 8. Let's go on. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. The time is getting of the essence here. Vision of the Son of Man. In chapter 1, say, Don, what do I take from chapter 1? Just tell me what I take from chapter 1. What am I going to teach, go home and teach my family about chapter 1? Well, show them that it was a revelation from Jesus Christ. It was his revelation. Show them that an angel was involved. And then show them that he writes to the seven churches. You don't have to show them the map, but if you do, it's bonus points. And then show them the vision of the Son of Man, Let's look at our Jesus now. Let's look at our Jesus. The way he's described in his majestic majesty and splendor. Let's look at it. By the way, I wish David Moore was here. He brings this iPad with him, and it's like 2 feet by 3 feet. It's the biggest iPad I've ever seen, and he's got all these commentaries on there. And he goes, Pastor, well, I'm glad you said that. You shared that, but this also says, and he just rattles off a lot of great things. He's doing well, by the way. But anyway, look at this. This would be the thing for chapter one. Then I turned to see that voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands. We're going to find that that's the church. Seven golden lampstands is the church. That's who he's writing to. Just tell you that right now because of time. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. Okay, who's that? Jesus. And you see lampstands, light. His light illuminating the church. Jesus is light illuminating us and you as you've got the Holy Spirit if you're born again in Christ. His head and hair were like wool as white as snow, as his eyes like a flame of fire. So wait a second. Why does Willis hair were white like wool? That reeks, or I should say it signifies beauty and eternity. Long live the King. Okay? Then we've got his eyes were like a flame of fire and his feet were like fine brass. Oh, he's a God of judgment. A God of judgment. He will defeat his enemies as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Have you heard Niagara Falls? Go on YouTube and listen to it. That's the description of his voice as the sound of many waters. Rushing water. Talk about powerful. He had his right hand. He had in his right hand seven stars. Guess what? Seven stars. Seven stars in his right hand. What could that be? What could that be? Verse 20 will tell you in just a moment. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to him, don't be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Wait a second. He's alive forevermore. He resurrected other people in the scriptures. But guess what? They died again. He didn't die. He lives forevermore. So that's the description. That's our God. Different from other religions, so to speak. Distinctly different. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Let's bring this to a close here. Look at that. That's kind of purdy. That describes what part of what we just read. It's a beautiful picture. Look at the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand. The seven golden lampstands are the church. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Do you know what that word angel means? It means messenger. And 9 times out of 10, they translate it to the pastors of the churches. The pastors of the churches. The pastors of the churches. That's who this message is going to next week, to the seven churches, to the pastor of those seven churches. That's next week, chapters 2 and 3. Very powerful. Very powerful. So I leave you with this. Revelation 1:19. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The things which you have seen today is John's vision. Okay, he's got an unbelievable vision where he's seeing and he's hearing things. And he's writing that down. And he's writing it down for the servants, for the saints, for the churches that we'll cover next week. That's chapter 1. Chapters 2 and 3, the things which are, verse 19 says, the letters to the seven churches. That's next week. What's he going to say to these churches? Good, the bad. And then he's going to have some conditional report. If you overcome, you get this. If you overcome, you get this. If you overcome, you get this. Then we got to figure out, is overcoming all in Christ? Or is it specific to that church? Oh, we got a lot to talk about next week. And then the things which shall take place hereafter. Chapters 4 and 22. That's the breakdown of Revelation. Still in the church age next week. So for you, for today, going back, what new difficulties have come into your life which have derailed you from Christ, derailed you from discipleship, derailed you from praying every day and renewing your mind? Identify them now. You go, I don't want to. You can't make me. You're right. All I can do is proclaim the truth, and the truth will set us free, set you free. What new difficulties have come into your life which have derailed you for Christ, derailed me for Christ? What's your next to do moment in Christ? Liz and I are reading a book right now, but we're excited. What's the next moment in Christ? From the book I'm reading, look at this. Don't take this lightly. Don't get offended. Please don't get offended. I had to deal with it first, and I still am dealing with it. If we take the Holy Spirit out of our life, would your life look any different? If the Holy Spirit was taken out of your life, or you weren't relying on the Holy Spirit at all, how would your life be different? And think about, where are you requiring the Holy Spirit to work in your life? Because some of us are just going through motions. Okay, we're just going through motions and emotions, and we don't feel much growth is taking place. So we got to see the essence, the power there. As this song plays, let Jesus deal with your heart. I might ask some to come and pray at the altar. I might ask some to come and stay and just confess things, and then we can talk and pray. But do be aware. Do be aware and let a time with Jesus and the Holy Spirit work right now. Right now.